listeners, we're back. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Casey, and this is I Could You Not.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. Sorry, listeners, we've missed you, and we've been doing a little every other thing, but, you know, life happens sometimes, and you gotta catch up. But I'm happy to be back. I am officially in full swing in my relaxed April. I went to a psychic a few weeks ago.
How was it?
Which was mind-blowing. She was so good. I'm not like an idiot. I know that some people can be scammers, or they say they can find online. I never gave my last name. I made the appointment, and just some of the things she was saying were too personal and too like deep to be something that she found on my social media somehow.
Was this at a party, or this was at like a place?
So I found her at a party. I went probably like a month ago now with our friend Felicia to a party. It was a fundraiser for her cousin's son's baseball team. This woman was there doing a group reading. Her name's Gina Simone. She's apparently really hard to get. So I was really excited because my dad passed away 2 years ago now. I've had little things that I think are signs, and I talk to him all the time, but I've never had, you know,
like a message.
No, right. I've never had anything happen where I feel like he's visited me in my dreams, or where I'm like, oh, that's him. Like, he just was like giving me this sign. Right. So I was like, okay, maybe this will be it. It's been 2 years now. Maybe I go to this reading and it'll happen. And it did not. But everyone who went to the reading got a raffle ticket, and she was raffling off a free 30-minute session.
Oh, nice.
So I won the session.
I never win anything. Good for you.
I've been on a little bit of a winning spree lately with the things
That's
I'm winning.
Great.
I won that a month ago. Then this month, my school that I work at, we do a gala and it has a silent auction and a live auction. And one of the cool things we do in the silent auction is this like wine toss. And it's kind of like a carnival game. And on the bottom of one of the bottles of wine is a green sticker. And you get 2 free plane tickets on United Airlines to anywhere in the country. And I ended up winning the plane tickets.
What?
Yep. So I've been on a little bit of a winning kick, and I literally never win. Like, I don't even gamble when I go to AC more than $50, or Vegas, like $100 tops, because I don't win.
You know, there's something beautiful about the fact that you got all your traveling out of the way, but you have these brand new tickets where you can kind of just go.
I'm really excited about that.
That's wild.
So I won that. I won the psychic, and I went to her a couple of weeks ago now, and it was just amazing. She was so spot on. She knew things about my family that, like, you'd have to know my family. When I left, I texted our friend Ashley, and she was like, I didn't even know that. She wasn't the type of psychic who, like, tells the future or anything like that. Like, she is a medium. She really just connects with spirits.
That, I feel like that's more real. Yeah.
That's what I wanted. And the second I walked in, she was like, okay, I'm getting a male figure, like a male presence. And she starts touching her chin, and she's like, okay, I don't know what this means, but he said the beard is back. And my dad had this full beard my whole life. I don't ever remember him without one until he started doing chemo. And that was one of the things he was so upset about, was that he wasn't going to have a beard. Like, he felt like he was losing part of himself, you know?
Like his identity. And
yeah.
Well, that sounds like a message.
Right. So then I was like, oh my God, that's my dad. And then from there, I felt like I was having like a 30-minute conversation with my dad.
So this is always where I get a little confused. Maybe it's an object, or maybe they're like with you or near you. Was it that he was near you and kind of like watching over you? Was it? Do you think it's like,
so
I wonder.
When we were done, she's like, do you have any questions? And in hindsight, I'm like, this is probably like where people are like, can you ask him this or can you ask him that? And I was just asking her about her, and like,
Yeah. I was like, wait, I have questions for her.
But I was like, how does he come to you? How do you know? Are you just walking around all the time and dealing with these spirits? And she was like, no, it's more that when someone comes to me and I'm in your presence, if there's a spirit trying to break through, I'm a conduit. And she was saying that, because I was like, I don't know how you do this all the time, because I was sobbing, obviously. And I'm like, you probably have people crying in your office all the time, and I don't know how you do this. And she was like, it's kind of nice, you know, to be able to like be the person to connect people. And she also said to me that apologizes for not having visited you yet. He knows you're mad at him for that. I wasn't mad at him, but I was like, I was wondering, like, why not? And she said sometimes like newer spirits don't really know how to break through.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, right. So it makes sense that he didn't break through in a group session with me because he was new.
When you're like making an appointment, what info do you give?
So I text her assistant because that's what it said to do. Hi, my name is Ryan. I won a free session with Gina. When is the soonest I can get in? Didn't give any other information than that.
See, personally, it like freaks me out and I want to know, but I'm fascinated by everything. And I believe that people are very sensitive to it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think that maybe
question it because it's not like a reality.
Right.
And right.
Exactly. And I think that maybe like the tarot card readers or something tell you more about you. Because I've done that before also, and that was really all about me. This one really was nothing about me. It was just like messages from my dad. I loved it. What about you? What's going on?
I had some family stuff, like a little health scare situation with my family. But overall, everyone is just, you know, came together, persevered. Good. And, you know, we're getting over the hump a little bit day by day. I'm going away, which I cannot wait. I'm ready on this Saturday. We're going to South Carolina. We're going to Isles of Palm. And it's where we
Where flash. Is that?
That's like a half an hour outside of Charleston. So it's like a nice.
You fly into Charleston, I assume?
I think it was like an hour drive. But
okay.
Because we went last year and we stayed in this one house. Now we're staying a little further down the island. Then there's like a field that the kids can, well, you know, my eight-year-old nephew can play in and we can have a little fun. But it's going to, I just like really want a relaxing side of it and
yeah.
Not it to feel like get a break from work and like mentally shut off. My colleague was like, you need to promise me that you will not reach out once the entire time about work because I'm just mentally drained. I'm just like burnt out in all levels, emotionally and physically. So it just couldn't have come at a better time to just get away, to be honest.
Yeah. And your whole family's going, right?
Yeah. The whole family's going, which, you know, that could always be a whole other situation, but I'm hoping we'll be for the best.
No, it'll be fun. Are you getting like a big house or hotels?
My brother rented a house. So it'll be nice to just be all in one space with the kids. When you stay with them, like the nighttime is great. Before bedtime, you get to be part of it. When they wake up in the morning, they kind of crawl in your bed or, you know, the 8-year-old crawls in your bed and you just kind of like hang out. And it's not just scheduled activities, but it's always the downtime is the best part.
So. Oh, yeah. And like on vacation, I feel like kids just wear themselves out.
Right.
So you'll be doing so much.
Coming. So the dog.
Oh, Lord.
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
The dog is driving?
The dog's drive. That's why they're driving is because of the dog initially. And it's always great having her around. And when she jumps in the bed, it feels good. And I'm hoping the weather is nice enough, although I have not put on summer stuff in a long time. So I hope
I know. Fit. When you have to do that, like going away. That's the one shitty part, right, of going away in the winter or right after the winter is putting on the summer clothes before you're mentally in summer attire.
And oh, it's brutal. I did not shop. I normally get a little something when I go away for like some newness. But since we're sitting in a house, we're staying in a house, we'll go to dinner randomly, but we're not like doing a ton of activities where we're going to have to like get dressed. So that's a relief. I have nothing new.
So that's kind of okay.
Yeah.
I felt that way with my last trip too. Now that I'm home and relaxing, I've been getting more in the mood for summer and I'm starting to look around and shop a little. So I think it's okay. You'll come home and you'll get a vibe.
You still have your color. Like you're looking still bronze.
Do I?
Another thing that I'm entering a world in, like I used to love fashion, getting dressed and like, you know, when you work in retail, you always kind of have to be in the know. But it's been a minute since I've entered that world. And also with my weight, I'm just kind of, I haven't really spent money investing in
I know.
Fancier clothes. And so I went to the Kips Bay Show House dinner, President's Dinner, which was an amazing event. And it's like high society, like diamonds were out dripping from head to toe and all high fashion. The bags were insane. Like everything. It was just insane.
I love that. That's my favorite part of some of my work events is seeing these women's bags.
Like, oh my God. The Van Cleef jewelry. I know that
Birkin is limited edition and she's wearing it.
I saw this Dior bag that was a clutch that had heels as like a picture, like a news article. Heels were on the flap of it and it said Dior off to the side. When you open it, it was a full newspaper article, but like in a clutch form of Dior. And it was so sexy. It was so beautiful. I loved it. It's like, what is this? Is just, this is nice.
Right. Like just wearing this ring that hard.
Here's my Zara dress on, just making it through. So I have this. The opening night is coming up and I have to find an outfit for that. And then I'm having an event in my showroom and I have to find an outfit for that. And I'm like, crap, I'm not used to getting the attire. Why don't you do Rent the Runway? You know, people have been telling me this and I've been looking and they have some great stuff, but I've noticed, and in being retail most of my life, I've helped women along the way and they were used to always be so insecure about their arms. And yeah. I've definitely hit that. I never was.
Me
but
too.
I've hit that age where it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't like my arms out now anymore either.
Damn.
I looked up where to donate like dresses for proms or something like that, because I have so many dresses from growing up that I still have, like that really? I wore to bar and bat mitzvahs and sweet 16s and things like that. And then every wedding I've gone to, if I've bought new dresses, what do I do with them after? You know, and now with Instagram, when we were younger, you could like rewear a dress somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's way more difficult to do that now. So I have all these dresses and some of them, I'm probably never going to wear this again. I want to donate somewhere that's actually looking for secondhand like dresses specifically.
Well, I don't know how to find that. Also, your bar and bat mitzvah dresses, like I feel like they'll be back in style at this point with what's going on with fashion.
I wore one of them to Renee's wedding.
You did? I can't even remember what it was. That's so great. Good for you.
So Casey and I have been doing a lot of socializing lately. And I guess that's a good thing. I mean, it is a good thing. But it sometimes can get exhausting. And my social meter for sure got to a point earlier this month where I was on like empty. And I thought it would be fun to talk about it because I feel like people can relate to this. Casey, you and I are a bit the same this way where we're like shy, but also extroverted. Like depending on who you ask, they would tell you that I'm shy or they would tell you that I'm like so outgoing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. People are shocked that I don't like people, that I'm shy. Right? Because being in schools or being in retail, you have to put on the face and you have to socialize and you have to network.
Right, I do have to.
So you're able to conform to your audience. But would I prefer, am I actually shy and dying inside? Yeah.
Would I rather be home on my couch and do I walk away replaying every conversation? Did I sound like an idiot just now? Yeah, I'm doing that, but it's all part of the gig. It really depends on my mood. There are sometimes I'll go to work even, I'm in a good mood. I get there and I'm the chatter, you know, I'm starting the conversations and I'm talking to everyone. And then there are other days where I'm just holed up in my office and I'm like, good if I don't speak to anyone till lunch.
I also feel like because the job is so social that when I go home, I don't want to social.
You want to turn off.
Right. And that's what we're like shifting our, like flipping our switch to try to go out to socialize, to like have a life outside of work. But it definitely, when you're an introvert, your comfort zone is just like, leave me being alone. I want to be in my own little bubble.
Right. That is one thing actually really funny that the psychic said. She was like, did you used to like go out a lot or something? And I was like, yeah, I had my time, my 20s, early 30s. I was out. And she's like, okay, because your father's very funny. He said, you know, he wants you to find love. And he said to tell you, you're not going to find it at home on the couch.
God, that's really the running joke.
Yeah. She's like, he wants you to get out there more and like start living. And I'm like, oh, that sounds so. He was social and he would go out with me. One time I remember he asked me, he was on Plenty of Fish, my dad. Remember that? He would go on it, not even on an app on his phone, but on his web browser.
Yep.
He asked me to go to like a mixer with him once. I was like, no, people are going to think we're together. And that's gross. I'm not going with my dad to a Plenty of Fish mixer.
Remember when my brother was single before he met his wife and he had a lot of his friends were getting married and I knew them. So I would be his date to like the wedding. When we got to the bars and stuff, I always felt like I'd push him off.
Right.
Like we're family. Like don't miss, because we don't look family. If you look at us, we don't really look alike.
Do you know what like one of my biggest fears used to be when I was younger? Because I used to go to the Mets games with my Aunt Angel all the time. And my Aunt Angel looks more masculine than she does feminine. And I always had this fear that they were going to put the kiss cam on me and my aunt. And it was.
I would love to die. I'm like, so funny.
What like a middle school, high school fear to have. Because now I would think it's hilarious if they put the kiss cam on us. You
100%.
Know?
It's so but good.
I was cracking up when they were doing it at the Islanders game. I was like, oh God. I just had like a flashback to a childhood fear. Like before your brother got married, if he asked you to go to like a singles thing like that, would you? And like be his wingman?
I see. Or is that too weird? I feel like I probably would. I probably would. Yeah. Like my dad, no. Because I just feel like it's easier to assume based on the age. People just don't.
Right, that you're like.
Yeah, people don't think automatically this is your dad. They automatically think this looks wrong. You know what I mean?
Good point.
But with my brother, we used to hang out. We used to go out. And I was a good wingman to people. I couldn't figure it out for myself, but I feel like I was winging for others.
Oh, I'm terrible for myself, but for other people, I love it.
Yeah, I was like rocking and rolling there.
That's funny. Rocking and rolling. Have you ever seen that meme? It's like a list of things that white people say. One of them is like, let's rock and roll.
That's amazing. I'm like rocking and rolling, or you're rocking it, or, you know, I've been spitting it left and right, just spitting it out at work.
I say, let's hit it a lot. Like, you guys ready to hit it? I don't know if that's like.
No, I like that's cool. Thing. And I'm like, oh, that was wicked, or that was wild. I don't know. These are like the words.
This is with my words too. I have little like.
I'm definitely recycling old words though, like not current. I think I said that was the bomb the other day. And I'm like, wait, what? Why am I saying that? Oh my God,
the bomb. Remember that? When I was in Florida visiting my cousin and I just came out with talk to the hand. Do you remember that when I was talk to the hand? Because the face didn't want to hear it. And I didn't mean to say talk to the hand at all. It was like talk to the manager or something, but something like just triggered in my brain. And I just went talk to the hand. And he was like, what are you talking about? I was like out of context and everything. I was like, oh my God, why did I just do that?
It's like autopilot. Immediately. Like a
20-year-old autopilot.
What was the phrase? Whatever, as if.
Loser, loser, double loser, whatever, as if. And then I don't remember how it ended.
Okay, so speaking of our more social butterfly, what would you put on your social?
If they asked me.
Yeah.
If I were a social butterfly or a homebody, I feel like I wouldn't be able to choose. I feel like I ride like a very down the middle line.
Me too.
And this is my personality with everything. I wear myself out to like exhaustion with work, with whatever. I'm either zero or I'm 100.
Yep, me too.
So I'm either going out every weekend, going away 6 times in 3 months and nonstop with plans. Or I'm like this month where last weekend, not a single plan. This weekend, not a single plan. And loving it and can't wait to lie on my couch. If I had to choose, I think I would say I'm more social than not.
I would agree with that. I think me and you are pretty on the the same. But what like as we're looking for men, would you prefer somebody which would you prefer?
I have thought about that before because I remember dating, like, the guys I was attracted to in high school and college were way more of the louder center of attention kind of guys. And while I might be social, I'm not a center of attention person. Like, that kind of gives me
anxiety.
Just anxiety thinking about it, right?
Yeah. Like,
Even thinking about a wedding, I feel like I'd probably like black out walking down the aisle with everyone. Like I'd not remember
the whole night. The whole night.
Right. Because yeah. I'd have to like go to a place in my mind where like I can't focus on the fact that all these people are staring at me walk. When I was younger, I used to really be attracted to the center of attention kind of guy.
The outgoing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. Now that I'm older, I think I'd need someone a bit more introverted because I am now more comfortable with myself, I think, and more extroverted in situations where it's tough when both people are the extrovert.
Right.
But sometimes that works. I guess it would depend on the person.
Struggle with this also because I feel like I flip back and forth. I like dating somebody who is in the know of things. But because I like to do things and I like to try new things and go on adventures. I just never really had someone to do that with except the fireman. But I also really am somebody that likes downtime and I want to be able to like hang out on the couch and eat in and just like bum out and just have like a regular average life of not always going out all the time.
So I need an in-between.
I need an in-between with me. I don't know if I can do somebody that just wants to stay home all the time because I already do that by myself.
Right.
But I don't want somebody that wants to go out. Like, I can't keep up with that. And I don't want to feel like I have to stay home while they're going out all the time because that also gives me anxiety. I feel like there should be on the apps. They should have the fucking settings of an in-between.
We've got to talk to them. We are your, like, target audience.
We gave, like, a good advice last time on,
you
know, are you going to pay? Listening. Are you going to pay? Are we going halfsies? Or are we are you an introvert, extrovert, or, like, middle grade? Are we now entering Match.com, eHarmony, and all those things with, like, the novel that you have to...
So my hairstylist basically told me that I am. She was like, you need to get off these kids apps and get on Match. And I was like, isn't that like for old people? And she's like, Ryan, it's for men and women. She's like, you're not looking to just like have sex. You're looking to find someone.
Me too. We're not like old people, but we're like kind of old.
But we're not the young people, right?
Wow, we're middle across the board, huh?
Yes, that is just our way of life, I think. If we could just find the center road for everything, we'll be good. I need someone who, like, is as happy staying in on a Friday night as they are going out to dinner or going to see a show. So I need someone who is happy with both. If you have a regimen and a schedule that you stick to, I get like that too during the week. I'm very routined. And I'm okay with you having it. I don't like when someone wants you on their schedule or wants you to, like, take on their stuff. It's one thing to share certain things, you know what I mean? And be like, you want to try this with me? Or why don't we start running together or something like that? But I don't know. Maybe
not. I roll your eyes and that's something you enjoy, but you're like, oh, that's painful to say.
But it's one thing to be like, hey, why don't we try something new together? Let's come up with some kind of hobby together. I don't like when people are like, this is like, look, I love this band and I want you to love this band. I'm totally like okay joined. With you going to that concert on your own.
Right.
Or with your friends. I
think it's important to have like separate lives.
Yeah.
Most of the time you want to be joined. Look, I don't want someone like me. I want someone that has the same world and like family, financial, like certain things, the same level. But I don't need them to be me in every single thing that I like. I like the difference. I like the mystery because things that people that I wouldn't have thought of that I'd like.
I like a little mystery. Are you the type of person who texts first? Do you think that matters who texts first? Do you think that grown men still get freaked out by a girl who maybe seems like she's coming on too strong? I don't know. I don't even know what coming on too strong is anymore. I don't know that I've come on to anything in a long time.
Good point intended. To be honest with you, I'm not the poll to take on this, but personally, I have no filter or I try to be a little distant initially, but then more recently, I'm just like, fuck it. I'm just going to put it out there. If they don't like it, then they can keep moving. If I'm the one always texting first, that I won't do that. And like, no, you need to come after me. If I'm important enough where you're thinking about me, you'll find the time to text me. If I'm constantly reaching out and you're on my mind, but I'm not in yours, then how into you are you? Right.
Right. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Men go after what they want. Like, men are very simple individuals. And like, if they're interested, they go full throttle. There's no excuse in the book that will take them away if they're like they're full in.
These are the things I think about. Welcome to my TED Talk on overthinking.
Well, I can't really overthink of this because I'm not very active in it, but I figured once my food therapy was getting a go that I would get back in there. After this work stuff dials down, I'm going to jump.
Well, I'm like always on and off, and I was in an off period and recently was like, fuck it, I'm going to go on and I'm just going to hit it like every day. Before and after work, before bed, at least 3 times a day, I'm going to check this fucking app because I don't like to turn the notifications on because I really don't care every time someone likes me.
First off, I turn the notifications off because then just be when someone messages me. But I don't want notifications for the entire app and the updates and all of these. Stop. Like, it's too much. I
was getting anxiety today just from my phone, my emails. If I get one more fucking email from something that I, you know, bought probably as a Christmas present.
Yeah.
For someone 10 years ago, I'm like, leave me alone. And I swear I unsubscribed from this shit and it somehow finds its way back.
I was just going to say, do we feel like the unsubscribe button is bullshit? Because
I do sometimes, yes.
I do too. And then when I go on these weird little websites, like when you click it, it brings you to this weird window that looks like a hack window. And you're like, did it work?
Did it work?
Do I have to do more?
There was an article in the New York Times the other day. It was called Sorry, Google, I'm Breaking Up With You. And I didn't know this, but apparently when Gmail first came out, you used to have to be invited by someone else to be on it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? And it was meant to not be what it is now. It was seen as more of like an exclusive situation where you're not getting all these spam emails. These are the things I think about and the things that stress me out when my phone's just ticking and it's emails. So that's why I don't have my notifications on for fucking Hinge.
Yeah, no, I tell them straight out when I talk to somebody because I'll go days because I forget about it because I'm not active. So I completely forget.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I don't go on this thing often and I don't have notifications, which again, I feel like that's a lazy excuse.
It does sound lazy, right.
But
I've done it. So I understand it.
Tends to ghost people because.
Right. You know. Because then they're like, and rightfully so, like, okay, she's not serious. So moving on.
Rhythm. Is it giving you some decent options?
It's giving me decent options. But what I found annoying is people that I've swiped left on that I've denied keep coming back up. And why are they coming back? I know I've said no to this person before.
Do you give money to it or are you doing the free side of it?
I do the free.
Yeah, I feel like that's...
Well, that's what the other thing that pisses me off about these apps is that every time I go on there, if I go to click on something, it's like, well, pay this and you can see this or pay this and you can do that. And I'm like,
or you can boost this.
Yeah, boost this. Are you kidding me? It's bad enough we're single. Don't make us go fucking broke too. Just taking advantage.
I've heard this and I think we might have said this. They purposely give you the worst algorithm so that you do get the membership, so that you do get better options. That's cruel. And we're all trying to find love. And honestly, like the purpose is to find love. And don't you want a success rate?
Wait, I'm so curious because we were talking about dating people, like what their personality types are like.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like me and you, even though we can be shy, we're not socially awkward. I don't think anyone's ever called me awkward. I've maybe thought in my head I'm being awkward more than
I
actually was.
I've definitely said it out loud when I feel, I feel uncomfortable.
Am I being awkward?
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, I'm being so awkward now. Sorry. Because there are certain personalities out there that I just don't know how to maneuver around. Yeah. Most personalities, I'm good. I'm in. I like got it. I click and I have my groove. But there's this particular personality out there that I just can't figure out. And I revert back to this, I don't know, childlike, like weirdo.
There's like certain people that when I'm around them are like, if I meet someone for the first time and they're not seemingly as interested in getting to know me, man or woman, I feel like I put on more. Like I get too outgoing and I'm like, slow down, you awkward bitch.
Yes, I feel like sometimes I'm like, do they think I'm dumb? They don't even know how smart I am or this because they're seeing a weird side to me and I'm not portraying myself well.
If there could be a way that we could have our inner thoughts projected the first time I meet someone, because the million things that go through my head of like what I'm saying and how I'm saying it, where my hands are and what this person's thinking of me, rather than just like enjoying the conversation and getting to know the person, it's actually fucking insane.
Yeah.
Like
Or have like an inner monologue of music that just everyone else could hear of the different phase of emotions I'm feeling in that moment. I feel it's so very telling.
Yeah. Like a movie, like how the movie plays the music first to trigger you, like, oh, something scary is gonna happen.
Yeah. Like, she's feeling sad, or she's
feeling sad. Maybe give her some space. Take a step back, friend. Oh, I would love that.
Oh god, that'd be so great.
I went to my school's like high school production of the musical Chicago, and I didn't have high hopes, but because you never know what you're going to get with like student plays and musicals, but this was actually unfucking believable. They were so good, these kids. I was so impressed. But what I loved is that every time someone left the scene, they would be like, give me my exit music. And they'd walk off to it.
And I was like, I love that sick music.
Right?
I don't even know what it might be.
My exit music be? Maybe like something like bad bitch, like Beyonce or Rihanna, like someone who's like, I'm not fucking around.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like my exit music would be. Or like something Pink, So What, or something. Something like, that's just like,
hello.
Yeah, that would be your entry song. It's me you're looking for. And Casey just comes walking through the door.
So there was this Black Mirror episode, like I want to say early on when it first started. I can't remember what season, where your mind and your eyes were actually cameras that captured your entire day, your interactions, like everything. And then it would upload and you were able to look back and watch it. And I honestly would love that. Well, that's how like in the episode they found out like a partner was cheating or
like what people. Yeah.
But but I kind of love that concept, and that would be really cool. Cause honestly, instead of replaying over in your head 1,000 times, you would just be able to watch and take some notes. Because I don't remember interviews. I black out. There's certain occasions where I'm like, I got through it. I have no idea. I can't even recite it to my mom. It's just.
When I'm in meetings, I'll often say to people, like, I'm not present. I'm taking notes because I will forget this. I take notes in meetings thoroughly, and it has come in handy.
I'm not a note taker. Never will.
I have noticed that in my life, that I like need to take notes.
Yeah, I was talking to my boss because she's a big note taker. Her whole life she note takes. And I have been somebody who, on my IAP, was allowed to have the best note taker take their notes because I'm not a note taker.
Oh, love that for you.
I rather record it. I can remember a lot of things and then it filters out.
Yeah.
In the moment, I can retain enough. When I write notes, I like try to write everything. And then by the time I'm like, what? You're a paragraph ahead of me and I'm done. You know, like I can't keep up.
Yeah.
I was definitely the person in school that highlighted their entire textbook because I thought everything was important. Like I couldn't differentiate because why would it be published if it wasn't important? So I would just be coloring the entire book.
Highlight every line.
My mom was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. This seems important.
Yeah, I used to love that. When I would study with people in like high school or college and I'd look over and I'd be like, yeah, why do you have the entire book highlighted? The highlight is supposed to be like key points for you to remember.
Yeah, so I'm the note taking is not my vibe.
But I feel like all the housewives and all of our reality stars are doing it. Jessa on Real Housewives of New York was like, oh, I take notes on everything. After I have a conversation or we all hang out, I take notes.
Because they have to go to the reunion.
Right. And then Amanda was just on Summer House and she's like, wait, let me check my notes app and see what happened in the car. I wrote it down and I was like, is this the thing? Shouldn't I be doing this? This is very smart.
Honestly, if I was on one of those shows, I feel like you got to, because if you skew one word.
Oh, they're roasting. Yeah.
Yep.
I know. So have you had any experience dating someone who's just like completely socially awkward?
I think every guy I dated was socially awkward. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. They're all weird. They're just a weird bunch.
Some weirdos.
I often think back on my history of men and think to myself, what in the world were you thinking? And was this a convenience dating? Because most time, 9 times out of 10, it was probably a convenience of dating. I think I was in love with any of these people. I think I cared about them a lot, but I just feel like I don't really know what being in love with somebody really is. You know, I love my family. I ride or die for the kids, but I don't know if I've ever truly been like in love in a real way. You know, I just think back on the fights or the breakup or the fact that I knew they weren't really right in the first place, or I just kind of convinced myself in a way. I wouldn't have really thought this would be part of my list. And this seems far. Yeah. What was I doing?
Yeah, no, I can relate a little. I feel like when I look back, there are times where I'm like, what was I thinking? Especially like personality wise, I'm like, okay, this guy's personality does not vibe with mine at all. I feel like what happens with me is that I'll like somebody, or you like this person that you meet that night. And then I keep going back to that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, but I really liked him, or he's so nice because he did this. Like, or he's a good guy because of this. And I go back to that like one moment, and I'm constantly like falling back on that and ignoring like the multitude of red flags.
Yep.
And when I think about my ex, about the number of times he talked about not ever wanting to live in Long Island or raise a family here. And I would be like, oh, well, that's what I want.
Right.
And he would just be like, okay, well, we'll have to talk about that when the time comes. And I would be like, okay. And well, like, you also push that out of my head and think like, oh, when the time comes, I'll just convince him that we're staying here.
Right. You convince yourself that if it's real, like, you know, they'll change their mind.
Right. But then when I think about it, like, why? Why would I assume that? And why wouldn't I, before I let myself get serious feelings, have the conversation like, okay, well, let's talk about this now because I'm starting to really care about you. And
XYZ. Be a lot more logical about it instead of heart-driven. Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I do. Get that. Heart-driven. And I have unfortunately stayed with men that I know are not good for me out of like purely like lust. Yeah. I let the lust and the physical connection take over. I think that's
the driving factor for every relationship I had is the lust. Oh, this is a relationship and it does not connect. Mm-hmm. It never connects. I would say like 5% of the time you might meet your husband that way, or 10% of the time. But 9 times out of the 10, what created that lust, you probably don't have anything in common with this, which is why the lust was so good.
No, you're right. I have had like relationships come out of it, or at least long enough where it's like a year or more. And when I'm starting to disconnect, or I'm starting to see the red flags, or starting to question the relationship, my first thing that I shut off is sexually and physically. Mm-hmm. So that's where I start like not wanting to have sex. And rather than, again, and this is like a fault of mine, something I need to work on, like where you should just address it and see like, is this something that's like a deal breaker or not, or something we can work through? I just kind of shut that part off. So when the strongest part of your relationship is the physical connection.
Right.
And you take that away, then everything else is so amplified, the shittiness of everything else.
That's probably not a bad thing, because then you kind of eventually get to...
No, but it makes for like nasty breakups. Or maybe I've just been with nasty people and they've just said nasty things in the breakups. So I'm trying to get better. I know about myself now. But it was like, you know, years of like, damn, this is clearly a pattern for me. When I look back at the insanely different looking men that I've dated and different personalities and all of it. Like, I have an eclectic taste, friends. And when I look back at it, I'm like, okay, some of the things that's common for a lot of these like longer lasting ones was like the passion.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel you on that. I definitely feel like, oh, I'm dating someone different. And then I realize, nope, they're the same person. They just look different. Mm-hmm. And I was on this like awful cycle of that. So I completely get where you're coming from that. So let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Do you have a relationship or talk to any of your exes? Or could you if you randomly
did
a check-in?
I think I could. It depends on how we broke up. Like, my most recent ex was just like a nasty breakup, like, and how it ended was nasty. Where even though I've totally moved on from it, I just don't want to be his friend.
Yeah, I get that.
You know what I mean? And it's not because I'm holding on to it or because there's like harbored feelings. I'm just no fucking thanks. But there are other people. One of my boyfriends from college who I was dating when I graduated, will randomly bump into each other when I go visit friends, and we are always fine and cordial. And friendly. And then like the guy I was like obsessed with in high school, we're still friends, but we have like the same group of friends. But even that, I wouldn't say we're like friends where I'm texting him all the time. But when we see each other, like, we're cool and we're good. I don't know that I have a relationship with any of my exes, anyone who I was serious with. If I was like not that serious with you, I could be your friend.
Got it. Yeah.
Why do you feel like you're friends with? I feel like you can be friends with an ex.
I agree. I have to be completely disconnected from the person emotionally to be able to do it. Because you shared a pocket of window of life together.
Yes.
Whatever reasoning they were in your life at that time was, there is that kind of connection always to each other in some form. And so there will be like a random text over time, whether it's a year, whether it's 3 years, whether it's a few months, like I'll randomly hear and wish them well. I check in and that's it. We're not friends, but there's no animosity or anything of that nature. Even one that was like really devastatingly toxic and scary. I went 9 years before he reached out because his mother passed away. And I reached out saying my condolences, and I saw him, even though I was very fearful of him for a while. And we were able to close that chapter.
Right.
And not be weird. It just depends where
it is. I
think
it's really situational. I feel like if it's anything after high school, I would count as like serious. You know what I mean? Because especially growing up in middle school and high school, everyone was making out with everybody and who was hooked. This one dated this one in ninth grade. And then it was this one's high school sweetheart at the end of the day.
Cut that off from my memory. Don't like to remember it, so I don't include it.
I honestly feel like now if I ran into some people that I dated in high school that I probably haven't seen since high school, it would be kind of funny.
Well, you might have that chance at our reunion.
That would be interesting. But I dated like some older guys and like weird older guys who were not part of our crew. I was in ninth grade, I like hooked up with the North Woodmere crew. That was my jam. They were juniors and they were able to drive me to school, so it was really important. But like those guys, it would be funny to see what they're doing now.
Like I do randomly look up the pet, like I'll like check.
I don't think I've ever done that. I don't do. My friend Danny just texted me today and was like, so when you stop talking to a guy or like you break up with someone, do you delete all of your pictures of them? If you don't do it right away, when do you? And I was like, I actually, now that you're saying it, I don't do it until it comes back up as like a memory, and then I'm like, oh yuck, and then I like go to the picture and delete it.
So I only, like, I used to hold on to the text messages, but I delete the messages.
Text gets deleted and number gets blocked almost immediately for the first like 2 months.
So it depends on the person I've blocked in the past, but most of the time I don't.
Oh yeah, I'm a blocker.
But it takes me a lot to delete the text because it's all the memories of the conversation.
Okay.
I don't delete pictures. What I used to do before there was the iCloud, like before Apple was a thing, I had Windows and you had some
Shutterfly.
You would have
a Shutterfly album.
No, like the thumbnail drives.
Oh, yeah, like the hard drives. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I used to create a folder and dump it all in that. And so I have all of my exes in like certain folders. Oh. I think it might be on my OneDrive at this point when I like backed up my old desktop like from a billion years ago. Nowadays, I just leave it in my thing. So when I scroll to look for pictures from my past, whether it's of me and you or my nephew, I'll come across that period of time where I've screenshot conversations or our pictures or his pictures.
Yeah. I'm a big screenshotter of conversations too. Sometimes when I'm scrolling and I'm like, why the fuck did I screenshot that conversation? What was of relevance in this conversation?
Oh no, it was either like a nasty fight and I was like, no, I have to keep reminding myself like this was ugly and not good. Or
happy you're saying that because I do that too. I don't screenshot the positive conversations. I screenshot the negative ones. And I've always wondered why I do that. Like after I do it, I'm like, why am I saving this conversation? But maybe that's why. Subconsciously, I'm thinking, look back on this if this motherfucker texts you. Yeah. Remember.
Or like if you're starting to get thoughts in your head and you're like thinking, ooh, should I reach out to this person?
No,
because it was really toxic. Or I'll screenshot like the really gushy shit.
Only the negatives only.
I do both. I like to have the extreme opposites. I like to record not everybody. It's certain things that I like to just keep my Rolodex. Another thing I do, which you might find really weird.
Let's hear it.
God, I'm admitting it. My calendar. I'll put, I broke up this person on a date and I'll have it reoccurring here. Or I'll have, I left this job at a certain time. I broke up this person, my first kiss with this guy, and I'll have it reoccurring. Because I want to remember. And if you're like serious about this guy, you want to remember if you're still dating, it's like good to have.
Then you're broken up and it comes up and you're like, oh my God, it's her anniversary. Well,
I'll take the reoccurrence off of like certain ones, but it's still logged in. Yeah,
that's funny. I do that with work. Like when I leave a job or start a job, I do add it to my calendar because I am always like, for my resume. But I never did it with a relationship. And that's actually smart. Men, if you're listening, you should do that so that you don't forget your girlfriends and wives' anniversaries.
Well, like the monumental moments that I felt, not yeah. with everyone, but with the ones that meant something.
Yeah.
And then when we got in a huge fight where we wouldn't talk for like a year, I logged that shit in.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so funny because when Danny said it to me, I was like, I don't think I've ever thought to just go through and delete the pictures, but I am a time hop person. I love time hop. I know no one really uses it anymore, but I love it.
I used to have it. My sister-in-law told me about it, but now
I love it for like the kids now that they're older, yeah, seeing yeah. their little baby faces pop up. I love it. And I don't really go on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So I'll get the time hop like 2 years ago, you took this picture and I'm like, oh, that fat fuck. And then I'll like go in and delete it. But I don't think in the moment, which is interesting. So you were saying you delete the conversation. I delete the phone number. Like your number is out of my phone. If I don't block you, I delete your number. I don't want you saved in my phone anymore because I used to be, and this is like an old habits die hard. I used to be a drunk dialer back in my day. My nickname in my sorority was DUI, dialing under the influence, because
oh my God, that's amazing.
Would get drunk.
That was a big thing back then. Yeah.
Oh, because also texting wasn't as big until we were like out of college, which is bad to say.
Yeah.
The number 17 times to get to the letter you wanted. So yeah. I was big on the phone calls. I started it like in college. If I were done with somebody, I would delete their number so that when I got drunk, I didn't think to call them. And now it's just like habit. Like if we're done, see ya. Even though I have way more willpower than that now.
You don't deserve to be in my storage.
You don't deserve to be in my phone. I don't know. Is this weird? I don't – like guys that I meet on dating apps, I don't save their number on my phone until we've had two successful dates.
I save them under my phone, but they get like a full description name. Know where they're from. And
this
like
is John from Staten Island, 36.
I'm like Hinge.
Two cats.
Question mark or not feeling it or Hinge do not answer. Okay. Or like –
that's smart. Actually, yeah. Casey, that's really smart to leave that kind of note, because that has happened to me before, because I don't save these numbers, that like a guy that I've gone on like a date with and just like wasn't feeling it. And then I delete the conversation. And then like 2 weeks later, I'll get like a hey stranger. And I'm like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, no, I don't want that. I was like, oh, I know this is like, I'm not answering. Bye. That's a good-
Well, yeah. Now, Apple, did you notice this? It'll suggest who it could be. Sometimes when it texts you, it's like maybe Jason. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, no, I always leave a note. So anytime if I'm storing someone from work, I'll put the company so that when I search at the top RH, all the people from RH show up. If I search like Ralph Lauren, all those people.
That with work people.
You're
yes.
stored. But I your do that with like my babysitting crew that I met. Every person that I met is stored under so that I could just pull up and type and it's all. So you still have the same number from high school?
I do indeed.
Me too. So
I have never changed it. Isn't that wild?
No, I've never either. I've purposely not. My mom is like, you need to change. After some of the guys I dated, she's like, you need a new number.
I think I'll actually cry if I get a new number.
Like, I agree with you.
Part of my identity now.
Me too. I like that, even though, okay, this is crazy. I like that anyone that we met throughout our entire life, if they have my number, they can always get me.
Right. I agree, so Casey.
I like the concept. But when was the last time you like really cleaned out your phone of numbers?
A really long time. I honestly can't tell you.
I actually did it more recently. I hadn't done it in so long. And I'm like, let's check on who the hell's in this phone. Because who looks at their contacts anymore?
Never.
Never. You just search who you're going to call or you just have them in your recents. Never. I feel like in the beginning, you were always like, who's in my contacts? Like you were trying to build it up, you know?
Because you could also like see more easily. We didn't have hundreds and thousands of contacts. You had like 20 people. So it was easier to look through. But now like if I looked just through the A's, I'm like, who the fuck are half these people?
Right. And that's why I have those notes. It's under whatever the name.
Who are some of these people that I've decided to share?
So then some of them I'm just like, these were clients or one-offs, like, bye. And I started to delete some, and it felt really good. Like, some of these people, they gotta go. Who are you? Seriously. Yeah. Why are you in here?
Yeah, I could go for a digital cleansing, I feel like.
Right?
A digital nice purge. I have a weird thing. So Juan Dixon, if anyone watches Real Housewives of Potomac, he is always getting caught cheating, or, like, there's always rumors that he's cheating and shit like that on his wife. And the most recent time, they were like, well, did you ask to see the text messages then if he's saying that they're just friends? Her friend said this to her, and she was like, no, he deletes all of his text messages. And they were like, what? That's so suspect. And I was like, oh, I delete all of my text messages. If I don't speak to you daily, I delete the text message at the end of the day.
What?
And this is an old holdover. I've stopped doing it as much, but I used to religiously do it because, again, old habits that die hard. There's no need to still do it because you have way more storage on your phones now. And I pay for extra storage and all the other shit. But back in the day, maybe 12 years ago, I couldn't send texts until because I didn't have enough data.
Yeah.
So I had to like delete text because I used to not delete anything. I loved being able to pull up a text message from whatever. And I remember having to spend like a full hour one day deleting text messages just to be able to text again. So ever since then, it's become this habit of mine that I delete like a maniac.
Oh my God, I can't. So text messages for me is like the lock vault. And yeah. So when I was cleaning out my address, my contacts book, I actually went through my text messages too because I have a chain of like a lot of people. I still have my text messages from my bosses at Ralph Lauren because I don't know. I just like want to keep it there. I have so many text messages on my stream. So recently I started to delete some, but I couldn't let go of some. I feel like when you delete, it's like, because I hate you, you know, or there's like nothing to
it. Yeah, or there's like, or you're hiding something is what like these women were implying. And I was like, oh no, that's not me at all. I just remember once that happened, and I am such a habit former. So once I had to do that one day, I would just every day at the end of the day, delete all my text messages out of like this weird fear.
Oh, I haven't texted this person in a while. Oh, I could look at the date and time and it logs me to be like, oh, I should reach out to this person. It's been a minute. I haven't spoken to this person in like 3 months. Oh, let me shoot a text to them, see how they're doing and catch up.
All right. This was fun. I think we're more social than we think. Yes. I think at my old age, I've gotten just really comfortable at home, but I still have some life in me.
We better. We're not dead. Yeah,
we're not dead. Not that old.
A lot of life to live.
Lots of life to live.
Well, I hope you had fun with us. Hit the follow button and tune into new episodes every Tuesday, streaming on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, socials on Instagram and TikTok. Leave some comments. We would love to hear from you. And we'll see you next week.
See you next Tuesday.
Bye.